Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your cities upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. Good morning, everybody, all you in the podcast family. We're so thankful and grateful that you're tuning in today. We're honored to gather together around the Word. Listen, friends, that's where it's at. Everything we need to know is right here. It's being revealed to us. And maybe it's coming in a progression. You know, light gives way to more light, etc. But we're glad to be able to get into this together today and learn more so we can get out there and get some stuff done for Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's jump into our thought that we've been in over the last, well, I kind of introduced it last week. But the last 2 weeks kind of had this progression where we're talking about rightly dividing the scriptures. That was very important because we need to know the three groups of people in order to jump into the thought we introduced last week about not being under law. That applies specifically to one of the three groups of people and to keep your end time doctrine straight. I mean, we got all kinds of ideas and conclusions and theories, and out of that comes all these denominations and different churches. You know, you can look around, like in our town, there's 250 different churches represented here, and so many of them have so many different ideas, but yet we all use the same Bible. How does that happen? Well, maybe it's devilish, but even if we just left that thought out for a moment, it simply comes down to not rightly dividing the scripture or dividing wrongly the scriptures. If it can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. And even innocent people can do that, I myself included. I mean, this is a dedication to the study of the scriptures, but yet to also allowing Holy Spirit to show us what is it simply and plainly saying. That's part of the problem, too, is, you know, we get so heady. You know, it's like we can get so, hermeneutical, homiletical, theological. I mean, all these, you can just get, pile on all these ideas and these thoughts and these terms, and it just gets so complex that we lose the simple meaning of it. So we just want to go back and just very easily and simply read the Bible and let it tell us what it wants to tell us. Praise God. But there is some rightly dividing of the scriptures, and one of the major tools or the key elements we use to do that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I think we looked at that where he talked about the three groups of people. Let me see where that verse is at. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, he says, "Give no offense either to the Jew, the Greek, or to the church of God." The Greek word there would be ekklesia. That's the three groups of people. You've got the Jews, you've got the Gentile, and the derivative of that is heathen. So that's everybody that does not have a covenant with God. These are pagans. These are heathens. That's what I used to be before I was born again. But then in the New Testament or under the New Covenant, we see that there was a new man born again on the scene now. That's the church. And that's who I'm a part of now. I'm no longer associated with the futures and the judgments of the people that I came out of, which would have been the Gentiles. And so we're going to pick up on that thought today. We're going to go a little bit further. I'm talking about not under law, but we needed to know what group of people, or the one new man, okay, you got to be in that group. That's the man that's not under law now. But we needed to know how to rightly divide these scriptures so we know who the Bible is talking to and about, so that we have our hope appropriately placed in the futures that are revealed concerning us. So go back, listen to the last two if you need to catch up there. All right, let's see. Let's start here in Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 1, and it says, "And you he made alive." The "you" there is referring to the new creation in Christ Jesus. Ephesians is a letter written to the church, one of the three groups of people. It wasn't written to the heathen, and it wasn't written to Israel, per se. It was written to the ecclesia. So only a born-again believer would kind of or recognize what's being said here, because this is about this new creation in Christ Jesus. And he says, "And to you, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Well, if you're born again, you're no longer a son of disobedience. You cannot be just a sinner saved by grace. You cannot be both. If you're born again, you're not just a sinner anymore. In fact, 1 John reveals to us that a new creation in Christ Jesus, their life is now summarized by righteousness. Doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes, but you cannot summarize a new creation in Christ Jesus. You cannot summarize the life of the church as sinful. If that's the case, they're not the church. They've not really been born again. They may be trying to mentally ascend to that place or posture or position, but you can't do it unless you're truly changed from the inside out. So if you're not marked or summarized by righteousness, then you're still a Gentile. If you're born again, you're not a Gentile. You should not be able to confuse the church with a heathen. Then there's a problem if we're still able to associate ourselves with the heathen. And people have this eschatology, mostly post-tribulation people have this eschatology, some collaboration between Israel and Gentiles. No. There's the only collaboration that they have is they're going through the tribulation. But if you are the church, you are not appointed to wrath. We're going to get to that here in just a second in this very passage that I'm reading. He says this. He says that you used to be a son of disobedience. Well, you can't be born again and remain a child of the devil. Yeah, if you're born again, you're adopted into the kingdom now. You are now Heavenly Father's children. He's now Abba. Oh, praise God for that. Look at verse 3, Ephesians 2, 3. Among whom also we once conducted ourselves. He's talking about in our former lives, okay? We once conducted ourselves according to the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, you can't be born again and still be this. But he says you were, prior to being born again, you were by nature children of wrath. Watch this. Just as the others. Well, who's the others? Well, there's three groups of people that's being referred to here. The Jews, the Gentiles, or the heathens, the pagans, or the Hebrew word is the nations, goyim. This is just everybody else. Wherever you are at on the face of the earth, if you weren't a Jew, you were the other ocean of people, the goyim. Okay? Now there's a third man on the scene. That's the church or the body of Christ. Christ is the head of this new man, which is also the bride of Christ. He's betrothed to this group of people now. We're Christ's bride. This is very distinct from the Jews and nations. He wasn't marrying the nations. He's not the head in that sense of the nations. The nations, the heathen, are not the body of Christ Jesus. Only the church is, and the Jews aren't. It's very distinct here. But he says, you, the ecclesia, the church, you were children of wrath, okay? Just as the others. Well, you're not now because you're born again. Paul, in another place, says you, the church, you're not appointed to wrath. So you got to read these passages all together to get the full picture of what he's talking about here. But who were the others? That's the point that I'm trying to get to. The others are the Jews and the Gentiles who are still children of wrath. Now I want to continue with my thought here of not being under law, but all this fits in here. Okay, those who are still under law or have rejected law altogether, which would be the Gentiles, all those who are continuing to fulfill the lust of the flesh and of the mind, all those who have not been born again, therefore the law is not written on their heart, so everything's external. So no wonder they're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, because they don't have a renewed spirit on the inside of them, where they have the life of God empowering them to do something different. The laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus are not applying to these folks because they're not born again. Who are those people? Just as the others. Well, the only other two people that the Bible talks about, that'd be the Jews and the Gentiles. They are still appointed to wrath. Now, the plan of deliverance and salvation, if you want to escape wrath, I don't know if you ever read the old story, Pilgrim's Progress. If you want to escape wrath, what do? You've got to go to Jesus. Jesus is the one who is personally going to come and deliver us from the wrath of God. So in Christ Jesus, you are no longer just as the others. I hope you're understanding this. Why? Because you're not under law now. You're saved in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Now, he's got his very life written on the tablets of your heart. The very law is now written on the tablets of your heart. You obey from within. You don't have to have this external restraint mechanism, which, by the way, the Bible says you couldn't fulfill the law even if you tried. The Bible also says, well, that wasn't the point of the law, actually, because he knew you couldn't fulfill it. He knew you couldn't live up to the standards of the law externally, because we're inside out folk, and your nature on the inside was the nature of disobedience. So there's no way you could obey the law because of the inside. And he knew that. But the law, what the law did is expose sin and bring condemnation. And maybe people say, well, that's morbid. Well, when it did that, it revealed Christ as the Savior. That's the whole point. The law brought condemnation, so you would go, I need help. I'm a dead man without some sort of redeemer or a savior or a rescuer. And then here comes Christ. Hey, I'll be that. And this is the point of contention. People are rejecting Christ because they prefer their sin rather than their deliverance. I mean, that's weirdo. I mean, that's some weirdo stuff. But I get it. I mean, I was there too. I was rejecting Christ. I was deceived. I was running from him. I wasn't running to him. I was running against him. You know, I don't have like a crazy testimony, but just in the dibble dabble that I had, I was running full on into it. I was running away from my calling. Now, I didn't do that alone. I did it through deception because I was a child of disobedience. The father, my spiritual father, if you want to say it like that, was the devil. He was feeding me these lies. Praise God, though, that the light of the gospel came to me. Praise God, intercession was made for me. Praise God that somebody sacrificed to get that message to me. And I thank God that I received it. Oh, thank you, Father, for delivering me. Now, so where are we at? That's Ephesians 2:3. Very important here. There's only one group of people that aren't under law. And the only reason why they're not under law is because now the law is written on the tablets of their heart. Paul said in Romans 7, he said, now from the inner man, I delight to do what is right. Well, because you know now what's right because it's written on your heart. It's written in the DNA. When we say the heart, we're talking about the spirit of man, the new created part of you, the born again part of you. It's part of your DNA. The righteousness of God is part of your DNA. The life of God, the Greek word there is Zoe, his very essence is now part of your DNA. And if you are born again and still sinning, you know what kind of conflicted life you're living because you've got this conviction emanating from within saying, man, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. But your flesh is going, oh, we like it. We like it. We like it. And see, used to, before you were born again, you were a prisoner. You didn't have any choice but to give in to the lust of the flesh. But now that you're born again, you have a way out. You can overcome that lust. You can put under the deeds of the flesh and rise above because of the law now that's available to you in Christ Jesus that governs spirits with Zoe life on the inside of them. You've got power and authority over sin, sickness, death, decay, lust, all that stuff. Praise God. So you as the church, okay, which is also what? The Greek word, it's kind of fun, ekklesia. It's fun to call it that, but translated into English, church. But what else are you? Well, you're the body of Christ. Okay, that's part of the gospel. That's part of the mystery. What else are you? Well, we found out also part of the mystery, the gospel, is this one new man is who Christ is betrothed to. This church, this ekklesia, Christ said, I want to be the head of that. We're betrothed to him. We're future in its fulfillment. When Christ appears and returns, he's going to catch up the body or his bride. We'll be united with him, and then we'll return. Zechariah prophesies this. We'll return when he comes to judge the nations and Israel. But We are have the down payment of that now because we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. That's what the Bible says. But the fullness of that is when we see him, and then our bodies will be changed into a body, be the total package, spirit, soul, and body will be totally renewed and transformed into a body like his. We'll be united with him. But that's the church. And we're the only group out of the three. There's only three groups of people. We're the only group not appointed to wrath. Verse 4, but God, this is Ephesians 2:4, but God, he's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Oh, very, I mean, very, very powerful revelation here. By grace? Wow. And verse 6, and he raised us up together and made us who? This isn't written to the Jew. This isn't written to the Gentile. This is written to the church. This new man now, as distinct from the other two groups that the old covenant dealt with. But now he's made us, or the church, to sit together in heavenly place, in heavenly places. In heavenly places. By the way, if you're the church, you're not Israel. Now, we might be a type, but some people are trying to claim that we are the Israel that will rule and reign from the earthly Jerusalem. And again, you got all kinds of crazy eschatology that tries to force fit that that perspective. There are people who literally are saying we're in the millennial reign of Christ right now. Mostly these are apostolic prophetic groups. There are real apostles and prophets, but I'm saying there's groupings of people that they have a doctrine of apostleship and a doctrine of prophets because they're post-mill. They think because we're in the millennial reign right now that they are true Israel and they are ruling and reigning right now on the earth, and that their mandate is to Christianize everything in order for Jesus to return. We call them post-millennial. We don't believe that at all. And here's why. It's because all that's based on replacement theology. They take all the passages referring to Israel and say, well, that applies to me. No, no, no. Listen, Ecclesia, you've never been confused with Israel. And if you're getting confused with the Gentile, then you've got a problem there too. But Israel and Paul's letter to the Romans has a book within it. Chapters 9, 10, and 11, and he talks about Israel's election is irrevocable. What Israel is he talking about? Not you and me. If we were a type of Israel, we would be a type that is ruling and reigning from the heavenly Jerusalem. By the way, in the word Jerusalem, or let me say it like this, the word Jerusalem is plural, and it refers to two, Jerusalem, two Jerusalems. There's a heavenly one and an earthly one. The body of Christ Jesus, our inheritance, again, if we are a type of a spiritual Israel, our inheritance is the heavenly Jerusalem, not the earthly one. The millennial reign is all about God fulfilling his covenant promise to earthly Israel that they would have a kingdom and they would rule the nations on the earth. That's what the millennial reign is for, so that he can fulfill his promise to them. They come into that, it's prophesied in Zechariah, they come into that after they go through what's called Jacob's trouble, and then Christ appears, they see him, they repent, there's a fountain of cleansing opened up to them. Remember that old song? There is a fountain filled with blood. Remember that? We sing it as the church, but it's actually a prophecy concerning Israel and what and how they actually enter into their restored state as God's people on the earth, God's authoritative people on the earth. And there's a fountain. Now, I don't know if it's going to be filled with blood. It says a fountain of cleansing in Zechariah. But we sing that song, and we can sing it because we have the same Heavenly Father. And we have had access to the blood. But first context where that song, there's only one place where it talks about the fountain of cleansing. There's only one place in the whole Bible, and that's in Zechariah. And it actually refers to Israel after they go through the tribulation. That fountain will be opened up to them. They will see him who they pierced. They'll recognize their Messiah finally, and they will mourn and repent And then God brings them in as restored Israel. And then all the millennial passages in the Old Testament prophets have to do with restored Israel and their place on the earth. But you say, oh, I don't like that. Well, it's just because you're arrogant and prideful, and you don't realize that God's keeping his promises to them, but he has promises for you. And your inheritance is not earthly Jerusalem. Your inheritance is the heavenly one. Hallelujah. Now, he's going to reconcile things in heaven and earth into the one man, Christ Jesus. Into Christ Jesus, Jesus' headship is reconciling these two things. But you have to recognize that God is going to fulfill his promises to earthly Israel. This is why we support Israel. This is why we're Zionists in that sense. We believe that the land actually belongs to Israel because that's who it was promised to. Why in the world is it a big deal to you or to any other nation? Why is that little piece of land so contested? Its borders contested because the borders are spelled out in the Bible as the inheritance to the line of promise, Jacob, Israel. Hallelujah, somebody. And all this crazy theological debating, all these eschatological positions. Listen, there's only one conclusion and destination, friends. I mean, it seems like there's, you know, three major ones. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Mid-trib, and I mean, there's a few of them, but most of it is pre-trib or post-trib. And then you've got pre-mill or post-mill or all-mill. We don't even believe in a millennium. We don't even believe in a millennium. Well, the only reason why you don't believe that is because you're a replacement theologian. You're all kinds of messed up there because you don't see that God's going to maintain any promises to Israel. You can only wind up post-mill or all-mill if you replace Israel. If you keep Israel intact and you recognize you're not Israel, hallelujah. Unless you're a Jew, you're not a Jew. Okay? Unless you're in the line of promise, you are not. It's pretty obvious if you were a Gentile or not. You would know if you were a Jew, okay? Anybody that's Jewish knows they are. Anybody that's not Jewish knows they're not. Look at what's going on in the world today. It is very obvious that these groups of people, God's original first covenant people, they're so contested because God chose them, gave them the law, the prophets, the oracles, okay? They've been so contested because he chose them to reveal himself to everybody else. It's obvious who you are, or it should be. The Bible makes it very clear and plain here. But the reason why we've got different eschatology is because people say, well, I'm Israel, I'm Israel. No, you're not. And there's a whole lot of groups that are born again. So they're the new creation in Christ Jesus, but they're trying to associate themselves with futures and judgments of a people that they are not. There's only one group of people that will escape the wrath of God or will be harpazo or raptured before judgment. That's the ecclesia. You're not going to be here. We won't be here. There's only two other groups of people that are still under wrath. That's the Jew and the Gentile. So this is just heathens, pagans, people that have rejected God. I don't care what nation you're from, what tribe, tongue, or nation you're from. If you have rejected Jesus Christ, you're going to go through judgment. You're going to go through wrath. Jesus and his body is that which is delivered out of, or harpazo, raptured out, not appointed to wrath. Hallelujah. So these post-mill guys who are thinking, or girls who are thinking we're in the millennial right now, the only way, there is no other way. If you are biblically honest, there is no other way to fall into that theology unless you think the Bible, when it says Israel, you think it's talking about you. Well, it's not. It's talking about the church, or excuse me, it's talking about earthly Jews, and particularly the line of promise, but you are the church. And in that same group, they have what I call the doctrine of ecclesia. I don't know what they call it, but I could call it that. They're real strong on ecclesia being legislative company, like the government of God. Well, again, ultimately that's true, but not on the earth in this sense. Israel will be restored as the kingdom on the earth. they have a promise it will be restored, the millennial reign as well. They'll be able to flesh that out. But you and I, we are ruling and reigning from the heavenly seat. And right now, that kingdom is not coming and dominating man. That kingdom is dominating within over the corrupt nature. That's part of our ruling and reigning, is ruling over principalities and powers, and then ruling over the that kingdom has usurped the fallen nature of man. It has dominated that within. The kingdom right now is within. The heavenly one is within. Now, in its fulfillment, there's fulfillment and fulfillment. In the fulfillment, God will reconcile these two things in one in Christ Jesus. But yet the fulfillment is not now. A lot of people who think that we're in the millennial now are thinking that everything right now has to be dominated by Christianity. And there's a really fine line there with theonomy and dominionism, and that's a whole other thing. I'm not getting into that right now. But the fulfillment will be ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. Right now, we're seated there now. We have dominion over principalities and powers, but we don't have dominion over men. We're not dominating men. Earthly Israel, earthly Jerusalem in the millennial reign will have that time of kingdom dominion over the nations. You can read all the prophetic passages dealing with that. The nations will have to report to Israel. I mean, I don't have time to get into all of that, but the only reason why you might think that we're in the millennial reign now and that we're to dominate and rule with a rod of iron over all the nations and the kingdoms on the earth now is because you've replaced Israel. That's their role in the millennial reign. Hallelujah, somebody. I know I've repeated myself, but it's like we got to say this 100 times or 200 times before it like goes, right, now I hear what you're saying. Because so many right now are being told that they're Israel. You are not Israel. You are not Israel. If we are a type, we're a type of the from the heavenly one. That kingdom is within. It's not without. It has an expression without, but not over men. You know, somebody said this, because the kingdom now guy would say, go into every man's world and take over. No. That's not what Jesus told the ecclesia. What he told them was, go into every man's world and tell him about the gospel. He didn't say go into every man's world and take over it. He said go into all the world and tell them about the gospel, that the kingdom that is available to dominate the sin nature, not the flesh, not the external, but this kingdom was going to come in and totally dominate, and not just dominate the inner man, that old man. It would cause you to be born again, and you would live now free from the inside out. Hallelujah. All right, let's get a little bit further here. Where were we? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Not of works. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. Who? The born again, the ecclesia. Where? Made us sit together where? In the heavenly places. Not on the earthly, but in the heavenly. Earthly, there's a promise for the earthly, for the Jew, namely the line of promise. Jacob, who wrestled with God and was blessed and became Israel, made us sit together. The church made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us, the church in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible says that if you're in Christ, you're neither Jew nor Greek. So this gospel is available to any Jew. But if a Jew, say, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, well, he's not associated now with the future and judgments that still awaits the Jew. Now he takes upon the future and judgments that concern the church, because he's the church now. He's been born again. He's neither Jew nor Greek now. Any Gentile that gets born again, you're no longer associated with the future and the judgments of the people you came out of. Why? Because you're a new creation now. You're definitely not a heathen. And if you're a new creation, you're part of the body of Christ. Now you've got a different covenant, and the promises of that covenant now you are anticipating, and you're no longer going to be associated with the people that you came out of. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We talked about this last week. The only way you would have any clue about what he's talking about there in verse 9, not of works, what? Not of works. The only way you would really know what that means is by finding out who the Jew was and the law that came to them. That's the only way you're going to know the fact that, hey, this is not of works. This is not trying to keep the law. Keep the law? I mean, we've got people today that don't know any history at all, okay? There are people today that know so little about the Jew. There are people today that know so little about Israel. They just think Israel's just another group of people. They don't know the history. They don't know the contention. They don't even know why there's so much anti-Semitism. They have no clue. They're ignorant to what God's been doing in the history of man. But to really know what this means, that you're saved by faith and not of works, you would have to know this about these people God gave the law to. And he knew that they couldn't keep it. He knew that they couldn't keep it, because you can't keep it externally if your heart is rebellious. So he said, there will be a savior. And all this was a setup. I mean, all this was a setup. All Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. All of it is a setup. All the plan. What God did in the first covenant, the people he chose, all of it is part of the plan. But those people, the Jew, were under the law, and they lived that. They lived that, and it was an expression to everybody else of who God was, that there is a God, and he is in Israel. And he chose those people to demonstrate himself to everybody else. But we see that, they couldn't keep it, and their hearts were rebellious. They rebelled even against the God that came in and revealed himself and made covenant with them. But the point is, you wouldn't know much about that. You wouldn't know the fullness of it. Now, you can deliver the gospel to people, and you don't have to go into the whole expose about who the Jews were, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But anybody's going to grow in the Bible, they're going to find out, wow, oh, I get it now. Whoa, what a gift to be saved by faith is. And all that is set up because of his grace. Well, I'm going to have to close it there. We'll pick up on this thought again next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're talking about not under law. We're not under law. We are not under law. So you don't have to live under the law. Hallelujah. This probably really only applies to born-again folk, because the Gentile, the heathen, they don't care. But if you're born again in Christ Jesus, you need to know that you're not under law. It seems like there's a bunch of people trying to draw you back in and under something that you've been delivered from. We're going to get into that as we go along. Hey, if we can pray for you, it would be our honor to do so. You can go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv/prayer. Fill out the prayer request form there. You can call us 870-741-9099. Leave a message. One of our prayer partners will call you back. It's our honor to stand with you and agree with you, friends, concerning the needs in your life. Hey, this has been the Grace for This City podcast. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed today. Join me back. That's not proper English. Come back next week and join me, and we'll dive a little bit further. But until then, be blessed, my friends.